Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. Hello, Sonny. How are you?
Hi, Brian.
All right. So today on the show, which was a fun show, a little bit of everything today.
Yes.
We talked about gossiping. And speaking of gossiping, last week you passed a note to Joy.
Oh, God.
During Hot Topics, that broke the internet. We were the number three most trending thing on Google Trends.
I cannot believe that.
I can't believe it either. So I want to clarify some things from the actual person who wrote the note. Now, number one, do you and I agree that the contents of this note will never be revealed?
We can agree on that.
Yes, never under any circumstances.
No.
And for those who've asked, this is not, in fact, a legal note. This is something different that you were sending.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And even though this was the third most trending topic on Google on Friday, will you ever be passing a note during the show again?
I will never do that again.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know what happened to my legal hat in that moment because Joy and I gossip a lot.
Yes.
And we share a lot of time together. And sometimes I forget I'm on a national talk show.
Yes.
It's that organic for me at this point. And so sometimes the things we say to each other are not for primetime, okay?
Occasionally.
And they're not for morning TV.
Occasionally, I wake up in the middle of the night afraid that someone's going to find the note and see what was in the note.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to the note.
I thought it was destroyed. Now I'm not so sure. Regardless, it's out. If it could be out there. But here's the thing. And then there's a limited amount of people that know the contents of the note. But some of them, like Joy, you know, Joy, if she thinks about it, won't say it. And she was good in the moment saying, shut it down, shut it down.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if she's having fun, sometimes she likes to talk. I'm a little concerned about it. She forgets that it's significant or important.
That it's gossip and that it's secret.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she could just be like a fun thing to say.
If I'm being honest, I've reminded her every day this week.
Continue to do so, I think. Because remember, like, she tells the story about how Barbara Walters told her who the new co-host was, and she just revealed it to like one of the late night shows or Entertainment Tonight or something.
So, and then,
yeah, so it's a little bit of a concern.
I've kind of said to her, remember the note thing, no one can know.
No one can know. No. All right, well, again, no one can know, but I'll continue to tease. Who doesn't enjoy
that? It was not for public consumption.
No. So we had this conversation about gossiping today. And then on the commercial break, you referenced that I like to gossip a bit.
You do. Well, so some of the producers decided that I was the person at the table that gossiped the most. I asked Joy because Joy gossips with me. And then Joy recalled that actually the person who gossips the most is Anna.
Oh.
Anna, actually, as you know, gossips the most.
She has a lot of information.
She has a lot of information, and she shares it.
She does.
And her tea is sipping hot.
I will say that.
Good.
Listen, the office gossip is one of the joys of being in an office, I think.
And View office gossip
is pretty good.
Is really good because it's like celebrity driven.
Yeah.
It's politically driven. Like, we all know things that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Now, see, for me, because I'm the boss now, I don't get as much good stuff.
Well, we can't share a lot, some of the things.
And then, like, the rest of the office. Like, in previous jobs, I'd know, like, who was dating, what's going on, things like that. First of all, there's not a lot of that going on here.
No.
But we
do have to keep certain things.
Yeah, and now I don't get to know the good stuff anymore.
We have to keep certain things.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I'll traffic where I can. All right. Well, from that, we've been talking about our friend Wendy Williams, and this is not gossip. This is, unfortunately, real life. But there's this explosive new documentary, What Happened to Where is Wendy Williams?
Yeah.
And it's raised a lot of questions about conservatorships. And you had a lot of really interesting insights, I think.
Yeah.
What has been your biggest takeaway from all of this?
You know, my biggest, and this is not an area of the law that I knew a lot about because I was a criminal lawyer, and I still am a criminal lawyer. So if you don't go to a neurosurgeon for heart surgery, right? So the law is very similar. You don't go to a criminal lawyer if there's a guardianship issue. I got so much reach out from some of my former colleagues, both at the U.S. Attorney's Office and a law firm that I worked at, who actually were guardians. And they echoed what was said during the documentary, which is the process is pretty opaque. Mm-hmm. It's just not that transparent. It needs to be revamped. It needs to be more transparent. And that 90% or more of people that enter into conservatorships or get guardians don't get out of them.
Yeah.
That's significant to me. And I just, for me, if, you know, Wendy's my friend and I understand that she has dementia now and that she needs a guardian, but I also remember Britney Spears, and I was really big into the Free Britney Spears movement, as we all know, because I talked about it. And then now she's out there, and there are some behaviors that I'm thinking, oh no,
she's not okay.
Maybe she's not okay. Is she suffering? You know, her marriage failed. She's getting tattoos. She's appearing naked on social media, things like that. And again, now, do you want to put someone like that with another guardian and she maybe never gets out? So that was my biggest takeaway. Like, this is this area that can happen to anyone.
I knew nothing about it before Brittany.
Yeah.
I don't know nearly as much about it as you now, but it does seem concerning on both sides of it because
yes.
people need help. You want them to be able to get help.
Right.
You want them to be protected from themselves if they need to be.
And from others that may want to
take advantage
yes. of them.
Yeah. And so it's really about who is being chosen for these roles and what are their interests. And
are they I guess, corresponding with the family? Are they?
It's a tremendous responsibility.
It is. I wouldn't want to be a guardian.
No.
Especially of a stranger.
Right.
Right? And so are they communicating with family members? I mean, Wendy has a son, you know, who I know because she talked about Kevin all the time with me. He is the love of her life. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, he's saying that he doesn't know where his mother is, it's disconcerting for me. So I intend to look into this guardianship area a little bit more.
Yeah.
That was my biggest takeaway.
I think, you know, obviously you have this relationship with Wendy.
Yeah.
Joy has known her a very long time.
Yeah.
Whoopi. So I think
Don Lemon.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think mm-hmm. it's something we're obviously interested in. It's close to do as a hot topic because it's personal, but we'll keep everybody apprised the best we can.
Yeah.
And we're all really wishing the best for her. And
I got so many calls after our show from just folks I used to work with Wendy, and Don Lemon was one of the first people who reached mm-hmm. out. He had spoken to her. She called him, and now I'm like I felt like looking through my phone because I never delete all my voicemails,
right.
And so no one can leave messages. I need to get better at that. And if there's a phone number that pops up that I don't recognize, I don't pick up.
No,
and I started to think, oh my God, did I miss Wendy's call?
I got a call from her once after she was on the show before she was sick,
and
I had written a thank you note to her as I often do to guests, and she just called to chat and to thank me for it.
That's Wendy,
and that's why we talk about someone who enjoys gossip.
Yeah, that is Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy Williams.
She's a hoot. She was so much fun, you know, and so it was not rare to speak with her.
No.
Like that, and I did. For a moment think, oh God, I hope I didn't miss her call.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope not too. I hope we get to see her.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's switch to something more cheerful. And that is the fact that Sarah's daughter, Sandra, came to the show last week and could not get enough of Auntie Sunny. I mean, Sarah talked about, I think Sarah was a little jealous, to be honest with
she
you.
She was.
Yeah, I mean, are children just drawn to you?
Yes, they are. It's really, my husband thinks it's really weird. Mm-hmm. I'm an only child, right?
Right.
And so I have a lot of chosen family. And I have so many godchildren, you would not believe. I'm always the person asked to be a godmother. And when I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, no one wanted the child sex crimes cases, right? Because you don't want to interview a five-year-old.
No,
you don't
hard.
Want to, about something horrible that has happened to them. And what my boss realized was, in the office, the kids would be asked, you know, well, can you speak to any of the prosecutors? And most of them would point to me.
Huh.
Like, I think kids are drawn to people that they feel safe with.
Is this before you had kids, or did you have kids?
This is before I had
wow.
kids. And I think kids are drawn to shiny things. And I'm a shiny person, right? I like jewelry.
Yeah.
I like shiny clothes.
You legitimately sparkle at any
yeah,
given time.
I'm a shiny
yes.
person. And I think they like it. And then once they realize that I like them and that I'm safe, it's just a weird dynamic. I went to a wedding and the flower girl refused to get off my lap.
Aww.
I had never met her before. And I'm trying to drink a martini with a little kid on my lap. I felt like it was so inappropriate, but I'm like, I'm drinking my martini.
That's
and
fine.
I remember her mother saying, she never does this. And my husband said to her, no, all kids do that with Sunny.
Yeah. I mean, I said to Sarah, like, you like legitimately, I think you had like a sparkly jeans on that day,
I
the
did.
Jewelry,
yeah,
everything
I have
else.
I'm a sparkly.
You look like a princess.
I'm a sparkly princess to kids. And
yeah.
And boys, too. Boys come up to me. You know, I played basketball. I run. Like, I can roughhouse with a boy.
That's a nice superpower to have. That
it's interesting,
yeah,
isn't
good.
It?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I don't think people would think that
no.
of me, but it's true.
I do funny voices. That's all I have for kids. I can do a little Grover. Can I do something now?
Yeah.
Let's see. I can do. Well, it's Yoda into Grover, so it's
hi. That was good.
Yeah. I can do that, and then anyway. So it's fine.
Good,
thank you.
Brian.
It's all Frank Goss. Thank
oh,
you.
I like that. I'm gonna try to.
Next time, I'll do my Chewbacca.
I love that.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Yesterday, you broke your losing streak when you teamed up with Sarah for Double Dare with Mark Summers and
yes.
won. Well, and technically, you really broke your losing streak with the pet battle.
My pooches won.
I think you're on a winning streak now, which
I
is something I've never seen in the
eight plus years
that you've been here. Because it's always good television when you lose, I got to be honest. So I might
know.
Stack the deck against
and
you a little
I'm
bit.
I'm a poor loser.
Yeah, which is fun.
And I'm a poor winner also.
I saw you dancing. Yes.
You know what I will say, Brian, this is an affliction that I have, this competitive streak. I've had it. My mother tells me I've had it my entire life. I do not recall screaming at Sarah during the competition. I do not recall dancing and pumping my fists and all of this. I had friends texting me saying, "You are outrageous." They said that I had a demonic look in my face.
I've seen the demonic look
on my
look.
Face. Yeah. This is all I have no control over it. And I don't even remember it. What I do remember is that Sarah wasn't taking the competition seriously.
Right.
And she was moving her head around.
Mm-hmm.
And I, now that she's reminding me, I did say, "Stop moving your head." And I kind of whispered it. And I thought it was a whisper, but she became a statue all of a sudden.
You scared the hell out of her.
She said that I did.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about doing that. But it was a competition, and Joy Behar, I was looking over, and she's like inching up, almost beating me. I mean, that's a total humiliation that would have ended in somebody being slimed, and I didn't want it to be me.
No.
I think Sarah was trying to throw the competition because she wanted to be slimed, because that's a very Sarah Haynes thing.
I think she's a little hurt that she didn't get to, like, get slimed. And
she,
like,
enjoys that.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy losing.
And while I love Sarah and I love her, the fact that she's game for things like that,
yes.
For me, the comedy comes from climbing people with dignity. Which Sarah doesn't really have in the way that you and Alyssa have. So I would have enjoyed sliming you or Alyssa.
I did not want to be slimed.
Yes. Yeah. Because when you're like, when you love it that much, it's not fun to do it to people.
Exactly. Right. And I would have been horrified
and
a little upset.
Yeah. I was concerned that if you got slimed, I'd have a hard morning.
You would have.
And you would, because we did it before the show. So then you would have to get ready.
Have
and
you
the
seen
hair.
My hair?
Yeah, the hair.
Yeah. I would have been upset.
I enjoy. So, you know, much we tend to torment the newer hosts anyway.
Alyssa was a good sport.
She was a good sport. And
the slow motion at the end.
I enjoyed
was
the
priceless.
Slow motion. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. And that was good. And this is coming, you know, we've thrown water on Alyssa. Remember,
yeah.
We dumped blood on Abby Huntsman once?
Yeah.
That was fake blood. It was fake blood.
Listen, you got to pay your dues on this show. Okay?
I think so.
Right.
Well,
how
you
about
went through
all
it.
My yeah. horrible ride experiences?
Yes, and we were tormented by the clown from It.
The clown, snakes falling from the ceiling.
There you go. It happens to everybody.
I've been through it.
You have.
It's her turn.
All right, but all in all, I thought that was a fun game we played.
It was fun.
Mark is one of those guys that is just an expert game show host and just a longtime friend of the show.
Yeah.
And someone, when I was a kid, if I was 10 years old, all I wanted to do was be on Double Dare. So that was, he's been around
cool.
a long time. Yeah. Now, your son Gabe was nominated for an award at the AMBYs for his podcast, Untextbooks.
Yeah.
Untextbooked. Are you a proud mama of this? This is pretty cool.
I'm so over the moon about it. And you know, Gabriel, he's just not a bragger.
Mm-hmm.
He just does. He's a doer.
Right.
And he's done all these incredible things over the past couple of years. He started a nonprofit that just like won an award from the Biden administration and a grant from Harvard. You know, so he's doing all these things. I know very little about it. His friend, Victor, reached out to me.
And told you that?
And told me.
Oh,
Gabriel
wow.
did not tell me that he's been doing this podcast for 4 years. It is frequently one of the number one podcasts on Apple, on Spotify. You know, it's an incredible concept. It's called Untextbook because it's about the stuff that you should have learned but was not included in your textbooks.
Oh.
So it's just like a fascinating thing. Like, and it's all over the place. Like, you could learn about a health issue. You could learn about history. You could learn about medicine. You can learn about, you know, the five blue zones. There's all these really interesting things they have. He's interviewed a couple of like really famous authors. It's really cool. And he didn't tell his mother that he was nominated. And actually, they're favorite to win.
Well, that's unbelievable. So my initial takeaway were, why didn't I know about the AMBYs? Why aren't we up for an AMBY?
I knew.
We're a podcast.
I knew we were going to go there.
Yeah, because I also quite competitive. Unaware the AMBYs were a thing. I've looked into them. They're incredibly prestigious. They are the thing.
It's the podcast.
Yeah.
Thing.
So I'm looking into the control room right now, people. Let's like up our game here.
It
I
is,
want an AMBY. I don't even know what it looks like. I want one.
It is a big deal. And I call Gabriel. I'm like, you're up for an AMBY, sweetheart. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah? You mean the podcast that, like, you created and narrate and like, have been doing for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal, sweetie. Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe we win, maybe we don't, but we're doing great work, Mom.
That's the important, that's the good
is.
Person to be. I want the hardware. I want
I
the trophies.
I like awards
I want,
and shiny
I like
things.
The awards, too. Now, you've got Emmys. I've got an Emmy.
I just got a new Emmy, you know.
I did not. Oh, for the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
A fourth Emmy. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I used to be a three-time Emmy award-winning journalist. I am now a four-time Emmy award-winning.
Multiple award.
Yes, this was for my hosting of the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Congratulations. I have
Thank you.
One, which is the best day ever, and I was so happy to have that.
Yes.
I, always, of course, would like more. I've got a Telly Award.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I got
that's
two
a good
of those.
One.
And I have several... We have a DuPont Award
which
now.
Which
is incredible.
Which is very big.
I feel,
very big deal.
Humbled that my name was on that ballot.
I did also get a Golden Headphones Award for my audiobook, my memoir.
Can we get a Golden Headphones Award for a podcast? People, I'm looking at the column again. Get on it. I'd like a Gracie. There's a lot of stuff.
I have a Gracie.
Actually.
I did get the Golden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, I want all the awards is the bottom line here. We're nominated for an Image Award coming up.
That's
which is
right.
Exciting.
Yes, we
and
are.
For a GLAAD Award.
Yes,
at
we
the
are.
Show, not the podcast. But, you know, let's keep it coming.
You know, Brian, I think it could be in your future.
Knock on wood. I would like that very much. All right. Now we have a listener call for you from Jennifer. Let's take a listen.
I absolutely love The View, and I love all the co-hosts. I do feel a connection with Sunny. We have such similar life experiences. Just like Sunny, I am a part of the Divine Nine.
Oh.
I am a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated.
Okay.
And I kind of want to hear more from Sunny on her experience with Alpha Kappa Alpha and how much of her D9 experience has kind of shaped her.
Mm.
And would she be excited if either or both of her children became members of D9. Thank you.
What a great question. Well, just for our listeners, the Divine Nine is a group of historically Black fraternities and sororities, and there are nine of them. And my sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha, was founded in 1908. The first Black fraternity is Alpha Phi Alpha, and it was founded in 1906. And it's a big deal, only because it's a lifetime membership. And the reason these organizations existed is because Black women and Black men were not allowed to join other college sororities and fraternities, right? So it's this base that is legendary. Coretta Scott King was an AKA. The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and she also pledged at Howard University, which is our founding chapter. We were founded in 1908 by 20 women who were incredible visionaries. A couple of years later, we incorporated the organization. We are the only Divine Nine, a member of Divine Nine. We have our own credit union. We own our corporate headquarters. So it's a pretty badass organization.
You get a lot of audience members.
Yes, they come. And and we have 355,000 members.
Wow.
And it's a lifetime membership. So it's a little different than other organizations that you may hear of. My husband is a member of Kappa Alpha Psi, historically Black fraternity. And he pledged, I want to say, spring 88, and I pledged spring 92.
Wow.
So we have been members of these organizations for over 30 years.
No, it's an important part of your identity, I know, because
it really is.
Yeah.
So to answer the viewer's question, the listener's question, I'm an only child, and now I have 355,000 sisters. And it really does feel that way. I'm a member of a chapter called Tau Omega here it was founded in Harlem, New York. And we have this incredible friendship. And my daughter may be going to a historically Black college and university. I can't say yet. And yes, I very much want her to become a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, if at all possible. And Manny very much wants Gabriel to pledge Kappa Alpha Psi. And I believe they both will.
Oh, very cool.
I believe they both will.
Very cool.
And they're legacies. We call them legacies. Kappa doesn't really have a legacy policy, but AKA does.
I learned a lot more. I didn't know very much about it at all until I started working here. And then Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yes,
is
she's my soror.
Yeah. And I learned a little from her and then you. And then, a week does not go by without having several of your...
My sorors are here. And actually, what's incredible is they've come to support me around my books. You
Great.
Know, the national organization, it's an international organization now, actually. But our international president, I just went to our regional convention, and she said, we're going to do something for your book. I mean, think about it. I was there with 4,000 women, and they were all saying, buy Sonny's book. That's an incredible network.
One of the cool things about an organization like that, it feels like your successes are their successes.
They are, because it's a service organization.
Right.
And it's a service, you know, for all mankind. And it's a wonderful thing. And I would encourage anyone to join one of the D9. Now, it's historically Black, but we don't have only Black members. We have white members. We have Hispanic members. We have Asian members. And I can bet my bottom dollar that any of those members will tell you that it is a true sisterhood and a true brotherhood.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, on that note, let's have a positive one. We'll leave there. Thank you for joining me, Sonny.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, I'll be back with Anna Navarro, who we'll discuss gossiping with.
She is the biggest gossiper on the show.
She'll deny it, but I can't wait to discuss it with her. The number to call or text us with questions is right here in the episode description. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.